We come to this ninth and final week of our novena for Eucharistic revival. And the Lord says to us today, learn to pray with your brothers and sisters. The liturgy of the church is a public act. It's always a communal act, in fact. The law of the church says that a priest ought not to celebrate Mass by himself without good reason. And usually the good reason is he needs to offer Mass that day. But typically it's the fact that there should be at least a server there, and if not an entire community gather with him to be able to pray and offer the mysteries. And in doing so, this is just simply a kind of a legislative way of saying that what we do here, what happens in the liturgy, is a communal thing of its very nature. In fact, the theology of the church speaks to us and says that even if a priest is celebrating Mass by himself, no server, no people, just by himself in a chapel somewhere, there is still mysteriously a communal celebration taking place in two senses. One, the priest actually makes the responses of the servers, and so would do something to the effect of the Lord be with you and with your spirit, with himself, back and forth, on behalf of the community that ought to be present there. But also recognizing that whenever we celebrate the sacred liturgy, regardless of the number of people that are in the pews in the particular space, we know that also present is the church suffering and the church triumphant. The souls in purgatory that are receiving the overflowing abundance of the grace of Jesus Christ that pours from the altar, and in a sense always often shown in religious art, kind of pouring forth in the altar to bring healing, to bring consolation, to bring refreshment, and ultimately salvation to the souls in purgatory that are waiting to be purified and to reach that purification of soul that allows them to enter in and to receive all that the God the Father intends for them. To that end also, from the holy altar are lifted up the prayers that are given. And surrounding us in this holy Mass and in every single Mass are all of the saints of heaven, all of our brothers and sisters who have been triumphant, who have won their crown, who finished the race. Every Mass is necessarily a communal thing, whether there are people around or if it's just the priest himself. But ideally, it's for the community to be gathered together and for all of them to pray as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to remember our brothers and sisters as well. Whenever we come to Holy Mass, it is for us to ensure that we are praying for others. The intentional point of the Roman canon, the first Eucharistic prayer, which we offer here on Sundays, there's a point of a pause before the consecration, wherein we're called to call to mind the living, those who are in need. And after the consecration, there's another pause, one for the dead, for those who have gone to Christ. It's for us in that time simply to be praying for one another, to be praying for the community gathered here as the priest continues in the prayers, but also to pray for those who are not here, to pray for those who are elsewhere, to pray for those that ought to be here but are not, to pray for everyone, to bring all souls to Christ. And as we bring the church militant to the Lord, again, we also bring the church suffering, the church purgative, the souls in purgatory, those who have died. But to this number, we also add the reality that we pray not for, but to the saints of heaven, those again who have already won the race, those who behold the face of God and are beholding him and allowing their intercession to pour out to him and then through them to us, to allow the grace of God to pour out upon us. We join with them in praising God each and every single Mass. And so it is for us to recognize these things. And when we come to celebrate the liturgy, to pray with these things. Unfortunately, so many simply come to Mass and think nothing of others, think nothing of heaven, think nothing of purgatory, think nothing even of their brothers and sisters in the Lord, but simply come with a desire to fill up their own cup and then to leave. In so many ways, it's the challenge that many people who are discontented with the church and with the Holy Mass say, why should I go? I don't get anything out of it. is because they're not so concerned about giving much, not much concerned about interceding for others, of pouring out praise to God the Father together with the angels and the saints. G.K. Chesterton beautifully said it. It was, if anyone is bored at Mass, they don't understand what the Mass is. One cannot be bored here, but one must be wrapped up in prayer, a continuous union with Jesus, who united himself on the cross to heaven and allows us to continue to enter into that mystery. It is anything but boring, the passion we just read. It pierces the heart if we have the ears to hear. And it's that same story that's written in the liturgy every single day. And so it is for us to come and to pray for one another, to pray for the souls in purgatory, and to ask the saints and the angels of heaven to intercede for us. But to that end, I would encourage a particular devotion and draw to mind a particular example set for us by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. St. Louis, the great lover of our Blessed Mother, the author of the book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then The Secret of the Rosary, and several others along those same lines. His teaching, which is simply the teaching of the Church, but he was very emphatic about it and did a phenomenal job explaining the richness of the theology of it, is that if we would go to Jesus most perfectly, the surest, fastest, most secure way to get to Jesus Christ is through Our Lady. And thus he spreads this devotion of consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is simply saying consecration to Jesus through Our Lady. To give everything to Jesus through the Blessed Mother. And he would encourage us as we come to Holy Mass and come to receive the grace of God, come to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity into our very flesh, to do two things. The first is to ask our Blessed Mother that we might receive Holy Communion with her Immaculate Heart. It's an acknowledgement that our hearts are often kind of tainted by distractions. We have attachments to the things of the world, to our own self-will and self-interests. It's these things that keep us from receiving everything that the Lord desires to give to us in his grace. And so St. Louis said, why not simply ask our Blessed Mother, give me your Immaculate Heart to receive Holy Communion, that I might receive all the grace that your Son Jesus desires to give. Help me to receive it perfectly, not imperfectly as I would do left to myself. And secondly, he would encourage that as we receive that grace, a willingness then to give it away, not to cling to it. St. Louis in his devotion, in his teachings on devotion to Our Lady, said that we ought to entrust everything to our Blessed Mother, our spiritual resources, our temporal resources, everything, to give everything to Our Lady, that we have nothing, that all is hers, and to know that if we do this, she will watch out for us. It's not as if she will simply kind of take from us and then kind of leave us there abandoned and then run off to do with what she wills with our own grace that we have given. This is not the heart of a mother, certainly the Mother of God. She's one that as we are willing to give the grace that we have just received in all of its abundance and purity and fullness, that if we're willing to give that grace back to Jesus Christ, if we do so, it will become even more fruitful in us as well as for others. And so to that end, he would encourage praying a simple prayer that before one receives communion, either in the pew or as one's coming up or as one's at the rail waiting for our Lord to come, simply to entrust all of these things to Our Lady in these simple words, Mary, I am thine, and all I have is thine. Mary, I am thine, and all I have is thine. Mary, I am thine, and all I have is thine. To entrust everything to our Blessed Mother is to know that she will use that grace in perfect accordance with the will of God the Father. She always does everything he wants perfectly. And so what better way for us to seek a renewal and revival in our hearts of a devotion to our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist than to turn to Our Lady and ask for help, to ask her to help us to receive well, to give us her Immaculate Heart that we might receive with purity of heart, that we might receive Him in the fullness of grace He intends. And then not to cling to these things, but to be willing to give back to God what has just been given to us, recognizing that all is indeed gift, and to entrust ourselves to Our Lady and to know that she is watching over us as a loving mother and will continue to provide for us every necessary grace at every moment of our lives. If we do these things, it will mean Eucharistic revival. If we entrust ourselves to our Blessed Mother, she will bring us to Jesus. And if continuously we have recourse to Our Lady right before we receive Holy Communion, we cannot help but be set aflame with the fire of the love of God for us in the Holy Eucharist. And so we pray that our Blessed Mother would indeed take this novena and lift it up into the heavens, that the prayers that we have offered in these 9 weeks will be ones that are efficacious for us and find Eucharistic revival and renewal in our parish and in each of our hearts. And so the Lord says to us, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I sustain all the faithful with my very presence, really and substantially before you in the Eucharistic banquet of the Mass. From age to age, I have united all people beyond the limits of space and time. It is my sacrifice on Calvary that fulfilled all the sacrifices offered before me. It is my perpetual sacrifice at this very moment and until the end of the world that unites all believers as members of God's family. Learn to pray with your brothers and sisters, those in the church militant here on earth, with the church suffering who are being perfected in purgatory, and with the church triumphant already in heaven. It is by partaking of the gift of my Eucharistic sacrifice that you are all made one as my mystical body. Pray as the family of God by seeking the intercession of your patron saints, your guardian angels, the souls in purgatory, and most especially my dear mother, who I have given to you as your mother as well. Bring to my ever-Virgin Mother your sorrows and unite them to her immaculate pierced heart. Ask her to make your prayers her own and your grief her own as well. As she owns your pain and is moved to weep for you, I will honor her tears and send forth countless graces of consolation. Bring to my Eucharistic heart this day the echo of your prayers resounding in the voices of the angels and saints through which I am glorified. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.